In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The world feels very chaotic right now, and there is a lot of anxiety. There's anxiety around things in this country about it being an election year, and there's anxiety around that. And we look at the news and we see conflicts around the world and uncertainty. And this week we witnessed the horrific killing of a priest in France. And things feel very anxious. And yet all of this is interesting because we're living in a time right now that is experiencing historically low crime rates. Unemployment is at decades low. There aren't as many wars today as there have ever been in any point in human history, but as we often experience, perception can be more powerful than reality. And so we feel the anxiety. When things become chaotic and bad things happen, there are difficulties. Oftentimes, I have noticed that people who might, I'll say, share a similar profession to mine will say something to the effect of, well, you know, these bad things happen because of somebody's sin. And of course, usually when they mean sin, they really mean sexual sins. Now, this is, of course, not only absurd, but it's unbiblical. It's theologically problematic, and it goes against God's very nature. But having said that, there are some sins that do have what we might call natural consequences. Now, those are the things that, because you do them, something happens. And you do something wrong and something bad results from it. Those consequences are even the reason that many of these acts are considered sinful in the first place. These sorts of things become an obstacle to our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And probably the single most pervasive of these sins, and also the most ignored in our society, are the sins of greed and pride. Now, these are two sins that are tied very closely together because they do something. It's like holding a mirror very closely in front of you. And what is it that you see when you hold a mirror this close in front of you? The only thing you see, actually. Your nose, thank you. Yourself. And this becomes a problem because when we experience greed and pride, they take the focus away from anything other than ourselves. Now we see the sins of greed and pride all over the place in our society. We see it when people shame the poor for being poor. We see it when people step on one another to climb the societal ladder. And we see it when we are so certain that we are right that we lose sight of another person's humanity. Today we heard in the gospel lesson the parable, which is often called the parable of the rich fool. And in this story, somebody approaches Jesus and he says, "Master, can you tell my brother to split the inheritance with me?" This almost reminds me a little of Mary and Martha. And Jesus, of course, has the right answer here. He steps back and he's like, "Nope, not getting into that." And then he tells this parable. And in this parable, there is a rich man who has gained so much wealth, so much abundance, that he tears down all his storehouses and builds new ones to hold everything he has. And then he says, "You know what? I'm going to sit back. I'm going to retire. I've got everything together. And this wonderful line, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." And I bet you thought that line was from Shakespeare, didn't you? But then God comes up to him and he says, "You fool, do you not know that you did all of this for nothing because you are going to die tomorrow? What are you going to do with all that wealth now?" This is a really difficult lesson. It's a difficult lesson in our culture especially. And part of what makes it difficult is that we hear it and it sounds like Jesus is telling us that we should not be financially responsible. And maybe, perhaps there is a little bit of an admonition for all of us. Maybe there is a lesson in there that we should be freer with our money, especially when our money can go to the greater good. After all, what is money for? It's a gift from God. And what do we do with all gifts from God? We share them. We give them on. But I don't think that's the main point of this story. I don't think that Jesus is telling us here that we're supposed to go out and empty out our 401k and savings. And I don't even think that Jesus is saying that Christians cannot improve our lives. The main point of this lesson is tied up in that very last line, where Jesus says, "So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The point of this parable is that we must work first, foremost, and always for God, and not just ourselves. This does not mean that we can't own things or be financially responsible, but it is that as Jesus began this parable, he starts off by saying, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Life is not about what we own. Life is not about status or power. But life is about our relationship with God and how we live out that relationship. And for those of us in this culture, in this American culture, which puts so much emphasis on what we have and so much emphasis on fame and power and fortune and money, this is a really hard lesson for our society. Because the reality is we live in a very self-centered culture. We live in a culture that prizes possessions over people. And it makes me think about that lesson we heard today from Ecclesiastes. It starts off, "Vanity of vanities," says the teacher. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And then Ecclesiastes says, I love this line. It says, "All of this toil that we have done to gain, all of that is like chasing after the wind." You know, I've heard it said that the gospel is countercultural. Now, I'm not talking necessarily like the counterculture of the 1960s, but I'm talking about the fact that sometimes the gospel calls us away from the ways of our culture. And it's not in only that society and scripture are at odds on things like vanity, but it is that greed and pride that is vanity, that is that thing that even St. Paul talked about in Colossians, where he says it is idolatry. Vanity has real and serious consequences. These things are damaging to us spiritually. Because if we focus solely on money, career, or even our leisure activities, we then lose focus on God and on others. And there's further a problem about how wealth is often made. If wealth is gained through honest means, having good business ethics, caring for those with whom we're dealing, then that is all the better for everyone. We've created a common good. But so often, that's not what happens. Very often, it is gained through greed, and greed leads to usury and exploitation, and it's gained on the backs of others. And so how do we manage this? How do we think about this in terms of our own lives? And for us, those who follow Jesus Christ, means that we have to think about how we put God first and foremost in all things. How can we take a step back and recognize when greed and pride are there and become harmful? How can we overcome the damage that is created by vanity? How do we live in such a way that our egos and distractions don't get in the way? When we talk about all of the things that create chaos in the world, sometimes chaos is just that. Sometimes bad things just happen and it is what it is, but other times we have to recognize that these are caused by human means. And in these times it is brought on by the humanity's inability to see beyond the self. And it is in these moments that Christ calls us to lower that mirror of vanity and to see what is beyond. Amen.